Matthias, could you please connect this for me? We're going to use the computer as recording device. Hello.
This is the closest one
Sure, it's recording. Do you mind if I put it close to you?
No. Do you want a cable?
I think it records from. It's good. Let me see. Mary, are we good?
Okay.
Yes, we can start. Okay. Thank you very much all for coming. Hi. And the title for our today's gathering is positioning. So that's really the main topic: how do we position ourselves in life? And in the process of sharing part of my life with you, then you kind of know what kind of a person I am beyond the healing room and our sessions and our phone sessions. And then you may want to decide if you want to study Shofar with me. And once you do that, then I have to make a decision if I want to invite you. There's a process that goes on with all of us here. To start the whole process, I want us to share something energetically here, all together. Anyone can you hear me? Okay. So I want you all to start putting your hands on the back of your head, please. And start to inhale very deeply. So as you inhale, it's like your ears are being pulled in. It's like you're inviting the energies from your own hands inside your head. Maybe it's the heat of your hand, maybe it's something that you're thinking, maybe the healing love force all around. But pull them in and let them join and merge right in the middle. in the middle of your brain. So inhale slowly. It's like you actually are doing hands-on healing now. Feel the size of your head if you want to. Tactile sensation is important. You feel the heat, the warmth. A flow. Some of you are ready. I can see the hands are warm, you know. So it's like you're inviting we call them healing frequencies. Let's postulate these are all healing frequencies from the right and the left side of your head inside, and they are going to meet right in the middle and start to create a vortex. The vortex is going to rotate from the right side of your head towards the back of your head, towards the front. Rotating, gaining momentum. So you're inhaling, you're pulling in. And I want you as you exhale, pouring, please. Pouring. is like through your own fingertips, through all your own palms of the hands, healing energies come. It's all physical. Creating a healthier state of balance between the two lobes of the brain, between the left and the right side of your body. When you inhale, please try to stretch the time of inhalation. Stretch it. At some point, as you exhale, the vortex is going to get sucked out into a center of energy above your head, like a flying saucer. Rest assured, all that leaves are the frequencies that do not belong. They are not congruent with your healing processes. So inhale and pull in. Exhale and give it a little bit of juice. Thank you. Now I want you to close your eyes and roll your eyes. Exaggerate rolling your eyes like push the eyes all the way up towards the eye socket, the arch. Rotate both eyes from the right side up and down to the left. And if you feel any tenderness, just wait up there. And maybe put your fingers or your hand on the area that there is some kind of a tenderness in the eyeballs. And inhale. Inhaling slowly, rolling your eyes up and around and about, and change the direction, please. Any tenderness, just place a finger or two on the spot and inhale. And it's like you're pulling the energies out, pulling the stuck energies that created the tenderness out. Feel your earlobes, please, and apply pressure on the earlobes. Any tenderness? Again, inhale and pull out. And exhale, pour in. Rub your earlobes, and the section, corresponding section to your earlobes are your head, is your head really. The ears are wonderful holograms of the entire body. That the earlobe represents the upper part, and the upper part of your ears, if you touch and hold and push, represent the lower sections. It's like an infant. The head of the infant is the earlobe, and the bottom parts and the legs are the top portions. So when you press, it's like you are sending healing signals to different parts of you. It's like you have two babies on your ears. Any tenderness? There must be a stuck energy in the corresponding area of your body. So you touch to a tender area, you inhale and you pull in, you pull out. And as you exhale, let it go. So start feeling the sinuses on your cheekbone, under the sinuses, around the nose. Touch and feel, and more than gentle. Touch, pressure a little bit. Any tenderness? Feel the muscles. Any tenderness? Wherever you feel any kind of tenderness, you inhale and you pull. And as you exhale, push it out. Please feel your neck, your throat. Interesting area of the throat is. Just touch. Usually the right part of your neck. Usually the right part of the neck holds a lot of grief. So just touch and inhale, and it's like you pull out the grief for whatever reason. As you inhale, it's like you pull the energy and you pull out energy through the neck. The right side, usually 99% of the time, is full of grief. Please start feeling your chest, right around the clavicle joints. On the left side, above your left breast, is full of stuck energies, all to do with the female aspects of you, female friends and acquaintances, family members. So as you touch, and touch more than gently, as you touch, apply pressure, it's like energies come up, pull them up. Touch, however you touch, left, right, doesn't matter. You pull them out, and if you want, you actually can do this. Let it out. Pull both towards up so you don't blow at each other. The stuck energies, female stuck energies, yours, man, male, female, doesn't matter, is the section for very female stuck energies. Any tenderness, then stay there a little bit longer. Touch the area under your right clavicle bone. Touch and push and insist. It's all to do with the stuck energies, to do with the male aspect of you, male family members, friends and acquaintances. Under the right clavicle bone, and push a little bit more than usual. Just push. Push and inhale and pull it out. Pull it out. And if you want, let it go. You could use both hands. With one hand you pull in. With one hand you pour in. Any tenderness, then do more. Find your sternum and tap. More than gentle. Good. It's like a horse galloping. To the point that you feel a little bit uncomfortable. So the area under the sternum is the thymus gland. Such an important gland maintaining the integrity of your immune system. It produces the famous white cell, commonly known as the T cell. This simple action activates the T cells. T cell is the cell that the AIDS virus, for example, finds its way in and acts like a Trojan horse. Anytime you entertain any disharmony, any atrophy, the heart chakra falls like an elephant trunk and you become susceptible to all sorts of bugs. You may have a wonderful immune system, but as soon as you entertain any kind of grief, disharmony, pain, emotional, especially emotional pain, the heart chakra falls like an elephant trunk. What is a chakra? Chakra is an Indian word. It means a wheel that rotates. But in fact, it's like a small, perfectly shaped tornado. The heart chakra here is right under the thymus gland. And be careful, not too much here. Give it a rest. All right. So now I want you to actually Feed your heart. Maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you don't, but just feed your heart. Touch and feed. In Shafa we call major organs major collective consciousnesses. So heart is a wonderful major she collective consciousness. And she has a lot to talk about. Inhale, slowly expand the chest, the diaphragm. Give your precious heart more room. And in Shafa we say, be quiet. Bless you. So expand the chest, really. Give your heart more room. Actually talk to your heart in whatever language you want. Farsi, English, Spanish, French. And tap on the heart very gently. Unlike the tapping you've done on your sternum, very gently. And usually we sing to our hearts, but you don't have to. Silently say thank you, thank you, thank you to the heart. And say, hello, radiant one. Hello, dear one. How are you doing? Actually, speak to your heart. In words. And then say, thank you, as you graciously tapping. Thank you for responding to every and all of my E-dash motions. Like E-dash mail, like email. Ether in motion. Thank you. Thank you for working day and night relentlessly. Won't you, dear one, rest and slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Close your eyes and see what you said. Did you really mean it? She is a wonderful major collective consciousness and her central nervous system is totally independent of the brain. Go figure. Totally independent of the brain. We've seen people in coma for 30, 40 years, their life, because the heart is doing what is what she's supposed to do. So the area in here has two major predispositions, love and hurt. We want it to be all healing light. So think light. Knowing that anything you think, it actually comes to your heart. Anything you think. Anything. All the energies that come into the wholesome you, into the collective being of you, it actually has to go through the heart first. It's just the way you're designed. Any action, any thought, anything you think goes there first. So when you think of, let's say, the reflection of the sun, it goes there. Before you can process, before you can imagine, as soon as I tell you to think of the golden healing frequencies of the sun, you have it there. That's the intention. As soon as you say it, it comes there. Think of your favorite smell of freshness. Before you can smell it, it goes to your heart first. That's how you're designed. Any and all frequencies that find their way into the wholesome, they have to go through the heart. They go through a process of initiation. They acquire your heavenly barcode, your energy signature, your impression, and that's how the universe knows it's you. Any action, the universe knows it's you. It has your barcode. And if it's a loving thought, then it's blazed with your healing light and love. Again, the universe knows. That's how the laws of karma work, you see. That's how the laws of karma work. Anything you think goes to the heart, comes out, broadcasted, that it's from me. It's from me. The universe knows. Continue touching and bring your attention, please, to your spleen under your left breast. If you want, place the fingers like this on the spleen and tap on your fingers. I'm trying to prevent injuries. Or just tap. But not as hard as you tap on your chest. Again, these two work pretty nicely together in maintaining the integrity of your immune system. The thymus gland and the spleen together. Touch your stomach, please. Find the solar plexus where the rib cages come together. my kissing partner. Introduce Ruth Ben to you. So right here. Where the rib cages come together. Touch and push. And rotate your hand from the right side up and down. It's the center of will. It's the center of will and willpower. Touch tenderness. You're not that willing. Inhale, please. If there is any tenderness, just pull it out and give it to the universe. The universe knows what to do. Inhale slowly, maybe with both hands. Touch and feed your liver under your right breast. Find the soft tissues and just touch, but gently. You know, it's like very gently. It's like you're holding a gel. It's very sensitive skin. Just hold nice and it's like push it back and forth. And you know what? Think Persian blue. It really helps. As you touch gently, think Persian blue. Soft, cozy, comfy, fluffy, like the wings of your angels holding you kind. And from time to time, giving you in that area an angelic squeeze, helping some of the stuck energies to surface. The area is the major storage area for, thank you, anger, frustration, resentment. So you're touching it and you are allowing it to surface. Please agree with me that we are free from having any curiosity whatsoever. To whom does energy belong? To whom we connected, anchored? Any resentment surfaces? We are free from having any interest whatsoever. Why we are, there is resentment there, to whom we are anchored, to what setting, to what condition. Be free, just receive and let it out. So if you've noticed so far, by the virtue of receiving, we are letting go. You see how it works? By the virtue of receiving, we are letting go. So receive. Receive the abundance of healing light, and because you position your hands in different areas, then the universe knows where, what you want, what area you want to be addressed. Or you just think it. For now, we use our hands. We make it a hands-on process for everybody. So, your hands-on healing. Touch and hold very important area. The major storage area for easy emotions. Or frequencies of wrath, resentment, anger, frustration. You're late 30 seconds coming here, nobody notices, you do. You resent it, get sucked into here. So just do it out. Let it out. Whether you're right, whether you were right or wrong, just let it out. Receive and give it to the universe. So technically, when we are doing all this, it's like preventative medicine, really. You don't have to go see healers or doctors. Okay? You just keep on touching. Touch your gut. Find your navels, if you can. I dare you. And anyone wants to laugh, you're welcome to. Find your navel. The cells in and around your navel are the exact same cells as the cells in your brain. Did you know that? The only difference between the brain cells in your navel and the brain cell up here is that the ones down here have not evolved to self-doubt. They have not evolved to self-doubt, but they can be extremely accurate, giving meaning to the expression gut feeling. If there is an F. If we let go of the stuck energy between the navel and the pubic bone. The area in here is infested with fear. Just under the belly. is infested with fear and fright, and their agents. Who are the agents? What do you mean agents? Concerns. Any concern, at all is an agent of fear. Regardless of how logical, how intuitive, is an agent of fear. And it gets sucked into the area between the navel and the pubic bone. So touch and feel and receive. Your hands are warming up, you feel a flow. The magic sentence in Shafa, anytime we experience something nice, it could be just a tiny little bit of maybe seemingly nothing, we say, thank you, please continue. Whom are you thanking? The universe. The universe is just like a person. It acts like a person. It gets easily encouraged and it gets easily discouraged. So if something good comes and you receive it and you say, you know, like you are receiving a gift and you are unwrapping the gift, you say, oh, thank you, how did you know? Wow, this is exactly what I wanted, and the universe is thinking of your next gift. And you've seen, you give a gift to somebody and they say, oh, thank you, you shouldn't, and you're thinking, I shouldn't. It's exactly the same way. That's how the universe behaves. That's how the, so you must be thankful. Inhale, please. Raise the muscles of the abdomen as you inhale. I'd like very much, if you take nothing today from our gathering here, take this with you. I really would like you to adopt this kind of breathing. It just increases your life force, your niru. It's the best exercise for your internal organs. And one more thing. If you move down to the area about 3.5 inches below your navel, in those days probably 1.5 inches. But can you 3.5 inches below your navel? There is a point that is commonly known as the Hara point. H-A-R-A. Hara point. You've seen Japanese, to maintain their honor, sometimes they commit harakiri. Okay. They insert the dagger there, thinking their spirit is going to leave unstained. Their honor is safe. From there I see a cord. So I'm talking about that cord. There is a cord that is physical, white, because it's made of light. It's white, silver white. It's transparent, actually. Accomplished clairvoyants have been seeing the cord for the past thousands of years. So it's not something new, I haven't discovered it. The cord is white, silver white, transparent, and one can see a flow coming through the cord. Sometimes it rotates from your right side up and down to the left. Very fast moving particles come actually here. And sometimes like waves upon waves of healing that come. Now, these healing frequencies are on their maiden journey. Those of you who haven't heard about the cord, today is the holy May 12th for you. You know, because the inflows of healing units fresh from the organ of creation, as somewhat depicted here, comes here and not here. In here you process them. And before you're able to process them in here, it has to go through here. It's just the mechanic of things, you know? It's the anatomy, if you will. So, the inflows of healing units fresh from the oven of creation enters here and not here. But how do we understand? How do we fathom? How do we realize, to materialize what comes here? You raise your vibrations. So how do we raise our vibration? Like what we're doing now, for example. And add to it maybe the whiff of the golden healing frequencies of the sun. Let's do it. And raise the muscles of the abdomen. I really would like you to raise the muscles of the abdomen. You may have to exaggerate. I want it to be your second nature. You're going to get so much out of this as far as your physical health, as far as ahas, cognitions, sudden realizations. They come and you know. Otherwise, they come like they have been for as long as you've lived, but you don't know. Sometimes you know. So inhale slowly and raise the muscles of the abdomen. And in this way, you're maintaining the integrity of your only physical highway to heaven that can be seen. Is your only physical highway to heaven that can be seen. Nonverbal, you don't have to utter 10,000 sacred zikr mantras 3 a.m. to connect, you're connected already. No school of mind, no prophet can claim that because of your belief system to them, you're connected. It's a fallacy. You are connected 24/7. You're always connected. But you start to reap the benefits, to get the benefits, if you pay attention to this kind of breathing. The holy healing information pertinent to all your healing processes, all of them, are coming right now. You have the answers now, inside. The answer is right inside. You clean up the heart region, step up. You know, you start to think, let's say, of the smell of freshness, your favorite, step up. Your vibration starts to rise, and then you have ahas and cognitions. For those of you who already have been in healing grounds and you might have been seeing auras even, it appears like a blob of washed out green. You know? It's like a nebula or a cloud, washed out green. And just like the old Polaroid pictures, give it a minute or two. Colors and definition comes. In fact, you have a three-dimensional answer to your question. So think of the cord of connection. Think of breathing this way, and please breathe this way all the time, especially when you go to sleep. So at night, how do we do that? We ask our pillow to remind us of this conscious breathing. Every night, ask your pillow or your bed to remind you of this kind of breathing. Okay? Now feel your hips, please. Feeling your hips. Those of you who can reach your sacrum, just find the triangle here. And push on the edge of the bone and the soft tissues. Tenderness, you know what to do. More tenderness, you know, just walk up. Find the golden triangle. Touch and hold and take the time. This area here is the major storage area for insecurities, all sorts of insecurities. All sorts of insecurities. As babies, it's like we lived in the land of giants. So lots of insecurities to do with size. You store them here. The concept of potty training, discovery of genitals, sexuality, shame, guilt, withhold, stored here. All the insecurities with any kind of sexuality, with the bank account, anything conceived. The concept of time. Children are alienated to the linear timing. So, to them, it's like a space-time continuum. You may say, Jack, we have only 5 minutes off the door. And to him, it's like, who? No concept whatsoever. None. They obey, they comply, they mimic the grown-ups. No concept. Lots of insecurity with time, especially as we start to age. And finances, camouflaged clothes in here. All of the insecurities go here. And one major thing about this area is that it's full of bone marrows. It's full of stem cells. Right? So as we age and the insecurities start to build up on top of each other, then the bone marrow can do what the bone marrow does. As the bone marrow goes through its miraculous transformation, turning into white cells, red cells, platelets, they are very insecure. Therefore, we have a very insecure immune system. A very insecure system is like a very insecure person. It's not a bad system, it's not a bad person. But it's tired. It can't really do what it normally, almost effortlessly would have done. So therefore, we have all sorts of diseases, disharmonies, call them cancer, call them fibromyalgia, lupus, migraine headache, arthritis. All the diseases that are almost deemed incurable in the Western medicine. Only if you do this, if you minister there. was fooling these insecurities out. And maybe you're living a very good life, you're happy, but the area is full of insecurities anyway. Just pull them out. Daily activities. Pull them out. Full of bone marrow, stem cells. They are glazed with insecurities, folks. And of course, as we age, I know there are a lot of factors, but this is the main factor for all physical diseases. The main factor, insecurities. And it's right here. In the sacrum area. Now see if you can reach your kidneys. Kidneys are a lot higher than one would think. It's like you place your finger in the hip and you turn. It's around here. It's a lot higher than you would think. See if you can reach. If you don't, your intention is good enough. But the intention, you know, just intending to reach the kidneys. Kidneys in any alternative medicine and medicine are very important, of course. But they are also the major storage area for what? Personal fear. Personal. As soon as they get triggered, it's like your knees give. You can function, you can think. So this area is all sorts of fears in the front. 80% of these fears in the front have nothing to do with it. They are the fear of your loved ones, friends and acquaintances, ward news, what have you. But in here, it's all yours. All yours. So, you know, just to make sense of it and feel like you're doing something, you may have to roll two socks and put it in here and lie down against it, or make fists and put these knuckles against and lean against the chair. You know? It's funny, once you hit the area, it's like all the energy leaks stop. Just about everybody here was leaking energy through the kidneys. And I changed the columns of leaks. Or, you know. and this actually just puts a damper on it. It just stops the leaks. Anyone feels good doing that? Mm-hmm. It really feels good. You actually stop the leakage. And you know, if you are engaged in daily activities that are really stressful, you're leaking all the time. You keep on leaking all the time, there's got to be a time that you come up with very horrendous diseases. Einstein, as well as 10 million other sages, said you can't do the same thing and expect a different result. Now I want you to touch the thighs. Touch the thighs. Touch and hold and dig in. Dig in. The area, I'm sorry, Rosie doesn't have knees. So I have to guess where the thighs are. Touch and feel, dig in. You know, the fear, the thread from here ripples down. Very interesting. So you're sitting innocently, maybe, you know, having a beer or something, and you're touching, and all of a sudden, did I lock the door? How much do I have in the bank? I mean, these thoughts actually do come. They really do come. Okay. So touch and inhale, you know, as usual. Put in. And dig in. The more you dig in, the more fear and fresh surfaces. It's okay. We're all in it together. Just pull it out, release. Again, you are free from having any curiosity to see what these energies are, to whom they belong, to what settings and conditions they are attached. And you could do the same thing now with the hamstring. Touch and hold and push. What are you releasing? Mainly insecurities, right? So it ripples down. Touch your knees and kneecaps. If they are moving pretty readily, easily, then you have good knees. If they don't, they don't have good knees. But touch and hold. four. Some of these energies are what? Anyone can guess? Personal fear. Remember I said once the personal fear gets triggered here, your knees give. There actually is a lot of fear in the knee area. It's funny. It's your shins. And especially the muscles around the shins. Is it tender or is it very painful? It always is tender. Almost always is tender. It's almost always is painful. It really sucks the energies. It prevents a lot of the minor senses of energies to get activated. But a simple action, couple it with inhalation, is like you're releasing. And there is a release. It's like you're no longer drowning. And the calf. And I guess I'm going to spare you of touching the feet at this point. You may want to touch our face again. I'm sorry? Oh, this is again just like the palm of your hand or your ears, right? So any area is tender, then the corresponding area is, you know, there is some energy blocked. So the left foot, if you look at the left foot, you know, as your collarbone, you touch in the middle, it's like you're touching the middle. Right? And the toes, when you touch your toes, you actually, it's like you're doing acupuncture, acupressure on your head. And you know, the arch of your feet towards the bottom of the arch is where the you know, this area is where the spine is. So you touch and you release some stuff. So simple act of touching and being with your body, first of all, is very grounding. Also very pleasurable. It's really nice to do that. You feel light. Okay. So in Shafa, basically, you know, what probably makes it, on the surface at least, very different than other healing modalities is that it's very structured. In the fact that we definitely work on the abdominal area, the area between the navel and the pubic bone. We always work on that area, regardless of why you come here. We work on the sacrum, regardless of why you come here. We work on the kidneys and the adrenal glands, regardless of why you come here. We work on the, you couldn't touch the ancient brain, but we definitely work on the ancient brain or the limbic brain. So inside the limbic brain at the base of the nose, I have the brain left there. You know, there is the, inside the limbic brain, there is hypothalamus gland and the pituitary gland. So as soon as, for example, I put my hand on somebody's head, I am working on the pituitary gland at the base of the brain. And the pituitary gland is in charge of six major organs. So just the fact that you put your hand here and you start to breathe in deeply and receive and pull in, with the intention to pull it in like this, inside the base of the brain, where the limbic brain is. It's like not only you're relaxing your head and your nervous system and all that, but you also are working on six major organs. Simple, huh? The magic word is reds. In Shafa, we use reds very often. Like the color red. Red stands, R stands for repetition, E stands for enthusiasm, D means discipline. So you keep on doing it. You keep on doing it, and magic is going to be created. The secret is in this. So regardless of why anyone comes here, for headache or hemorrhoid, for anything, we definitely work on these areas. With an eye in the relationship between these areas and the disarm. Always. That's what makes Shafa very different. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so technically by doing this, not only you maintain yourself, you start to have a better mood, you know, your immune system functions better, but at the same time, you won't get sick. you know, whether you use shafa for self-healing or taking it a step further and start to help others, it's really, really workable. Call it anything you want. But the main difference, at least on the surface, is the discipline of working on these areas, because we know how important they are. So no shortcuts. We were training somebody and the person said, I'm ready. Miriam, I said, okay, show us what you can do. And she was working, she was going here, and then I said, why are you doing this? I was guided. I said, really? You failed. You know, you have to have a structure. Within that structure, you can be extremely, extremely creative. We all are very different. Very different. We look different. Like, I mean, look at this one. Very, very different. Okay, the title today is really positioning, and I'm open to giving you maybe 5 minutes break if you all want to. If not, you can do. Okay. So the title today is positioning. Technically, wherever you position yourself, like you position yourself to be in this room, that's all you can breathe in, that's all you can breathe out. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you go to a swimming pool, what happens? You get wet. But egotistically, we say, I can stay in the swimming pool and be dry. So really, good luck, I'm going to be your student. It's not going to happen. You know. So technically, if you're sad and you continue analyzing the sadness, why you're sad, then there is more sadness, you're groomed. It just increases in size and significance. Plus, you tap in 7, probably billion other people who are sad or angry. So each time you entertain an emotion, it's not just yours. It could be a whole lot of other people that are going through a whole lot of difficulties. And it's disproportional. It's like, you know, I got upset because the guy cut me off on the highway. Why am I raging? We call it road rage. Because it may not be yours. Part of it is yours, but you tap into it and all of a sudden you pull it in. So it's very important to know this, that wherever you are, that's where you are. Only ego says, I'm here, but I cannot be here. But I'm here. And it's like, it doesn't work. In any physical condition, emotional condition, you are where you are. You want to create a shift. You have to step aside. It doesn't work any other way. I've worked with a lot of great healers, master healers, grandmaster healers, in this realm, in other realms. It just doesn't work. So, if you go and do some work and come back to your old setting, what happens? You're going to repeat the same thing again after a while. You come back to your own swimming pool. It's going to be the same thing. What do you expect? So it's like, I've gone to this, all these healers, and I've gone to Freud himself, and, you know, nothing works. The basic information is missing, though. You know, you could go anywhere, you come back to the pool, you get wet. What do you expect? So a lot of times, people intuitively actually choose a different accommodation. They actually leave their place of residence. Or someone, when someone is really going through grief, lost a loved one, they go for a vacation. There is a whole lot of change right there. You know, it's like still grieving, but there is a lot of shifts. It's like things are kind of ruining for the individual to, you know, continue with life in an amicable, happy way. So in Shafa, we always acknowledge feelings, always. You know, someone is sad, someone is angry, we acknowledge. But if I'm angry and I acknowledge that I'm angry, it doesn't make me right. Think about it. Any feeling you have, you acknowledge, it doesn't make you right. But you're trained to think you're right. And Mr. Ego comes in and reinforces the whole thing. You must be right, otherwise why am I feeling this way? I must be right. And because I'm right, then there is judgment, there is sense of entitlement, and it never ends. The game becomes even more and more interesting. their interest. So again, another golden rule in Shofar. We always acknowledge emotions. We are not in denial. We are not sweeping it under the carpet. We actually know what it is. In fact, as Shofar healers, we must pay attention to all this. You know, if there is a cancerous tumor, and I just say Hare Krishna, love, 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 try not to see it, then what am I healing? You must see what's wrong. Well, what are you healing? We see what is wrong, but we step aside from it. There are two different things. You know, anytime there is a disharmony, you see what is, and you step aside, and you create a reality opposite to what was. Or what is. You keep on looking at it and looking at it till it actually becomes tangible. It's like there is a feel to it. You may not be able to see it, but my hand is tingling. You know, I know I have it. So I bring it back and I superimpose on the old, on the process that needs healing. And I keep on looking at it now. I'm giving this area a template and the area has to heal. It's a given. Doing a few things. Methodically, with discipline, with rest, repetition, enthusiasm, discipline, healing comes. Okay, again, the title I'm going to repeat is Positioning. And I think when in 1989, I was at the UCSF hospital. And it was my birthday, I think, or around it. But to make things even more interesting, I'm going to say it was my birthday. You know, August 25, in the hospital, and I'm burned because of the chemo. Surgery burns all over. And also on the inside. I could not drink, I could not read right, I could not talk, I could not see. The vision would shift all the time. And you know, you're just suffering like that, and it's like there's nothing you could do. You can't even die. You're dead. You want to die, but how could you? You know, they don't let you. And lots of machineries were attached. You know, beep, 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 beep. Different concentration, different drops per minute, and so forth, you know. And after a while, these sounds are boom, 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 boom. It's like someone hammering you all over, you know. It's really tough and painful. You don't know what to do with it. You know? And I really thought either I'm going to die or I'm going to stop this sound. It wasn't just in my head. It would reverberate throughout my body. And all of a sudden, you know, I couldn't, as I said, I couldn't even talk. I screamed from here. And I said, I want the noise to stop now. Replace it with something else, and boom, it was all light. It was the best firework I have ever seen, the best Fourth of July. Every sound turned into different kind of light. You know how you listen to music on a computer, all these flashes come, just like that. I couldn't hear anything, I couldn't feel anything. And right there, I learned we can use our senses interchangeably. That's right. We actually can use our senses interchangeably. Just know that. As soon as you know that, you don't have to study with me 10 years to do it. You could do it maybe now. But the basic information is needed. And then, of course, it's your willingness to put it into use. The basic information is needed. So in your minds, you know, maybe you accept, maybe you don't accept what I'm saying. I really don't want you to believe me. Anytime anyone comes and says, I believe you, I get this cold rush of something in my spine. I know I'm in for a, you know, rough ride. I don't want people to believe in me. Your beliefs change all the time. You know, you believe in Roosevelt today, tomorrow in me, the next. I want you to know. And the only way for you to know is to experience it yourself. But, you know, if I'm telling you something to do, you know, as Shofar student, and the next day I ask you, have you done it? If I haven't done it, that's your process. I respect that too. But the result is not going to be the way you expect. Or from what you heard, you know, people said, what I've done. So in fact, we can't and we don't want to force maturity. There's maturity in every process. I'm not implying anyone is immature, but there's maturity in that. Okay. So the first lesson for me in the, you know, the first major lesson that I can bring forth from the time in the hospital was, okay, and it wasn't the morphine. I wasn't actually using the morphine. I had a nurse, very lovely nurse. At the time, I think I was 37, 38, and the nurse was probably 23, 24. She was very lovely, very caring. She would come, she would wash her hands, and then she would wipe, you know, the sweat out of my forehead, and I'm looking like, okay. And then she said, use the morphine.
I'm good.
Use the morphine. I'm good. You know, she would come day in, day out. I said, use the morphine. One day she came, and I was suffering, and she said, you know, she had a lot of syringes and all that. She just dropped everything. She said, God damn you, I told you, use the goddamn morphine. I never thought I'd be pushing drugs here. Use the goddamn morphine. You know, she forcefully did that, and I pressed, you know, the button, and all of a sudden, almost expecting proof. I was smiling, you know. It was nice. And she started to become very friendly with me and my wife, and she was, it seemed like she's paying more attention to me, or that was her skill. It seemed like that. There was no improper feeling, so to speak, if there is such thing. And she was just careful, and she was very caring, rather. Not careful, caring, very caring. So a month later, all of a sudden, she's not there. And I'm asking, Harry, what happened to her? Well, she's in vacation to Hawaii, okay? Harry, what happened to her? She actually is getting married. Really? She's getting married? Yeah, okay. And a week later, what happened? Why is she not coming? Well, you know, they decided to move, so she no longer is going to work. Really? Why didn't she come and say goodbye? What happened? And it wasn't until, I think, 8 years ago that I found she died 2 doors from me. She acquired leukemia. Wow. 2 doors down. What's the lesson? She actually contracted leukemia. And, you know, I think I had a share in that. So, it makes me very sad, actually. The lesson is that, you know, we exchange energy. It's very real. As you're sitting is not really the close proximity, it's how I feel about you. How I feel about you. I mean, how you feel about you. Then we exchange energies. You know, then everything is contagious. The cancer is contagious. Everything is contagious. Leukemia is contagious. Lupus is contagious. I've seen so many incidences that the wife or the husband gets MS and starts to be crippled. And shortly thereafter, the husband, the wife has MS. He's like, how does that work? What are the possibilities here? Why is this possible, really? And how many times there are just laws of chance and accidents for these things to happen? We do exchange energy. It's constant dance of sharing and giving energies and receiving the energies. So what do we do as Shofar healers? I mean, if that's the case, I would have died in one week. You know, there's a cancerous tumor. Let's consider his nose, a cancerous tumor, and I put my hand in and I'm breathing, and I see it's coming into me. I see the energy is coming to me. If I fear, it's going to stay. See, if I haven't dealt with these areas of fear, and I'm working, and I say, ooh, cancer is coming into me, it's going to stay. Now, I may not get cancer, I definitely get some kind of pain and ache. Minimally, I get some pain and ache. You know, there are people who go through radiations, and Again, probably up to 10 years ago, I wouldn't see people who go through chemo and radiation, but I changed that. So when I touch, I actually can remove the excess radiation. I get excruciating pain in my hand. I usually do it with my breath. Now, radiation, they say if you get radiation, you know, don't associate with other people right away and all that. People come right away here, and I remove it. And I get the pain, and I let it go. But you got to have these basic informations. You know, somebody is sad, you're trying to be with that person, people don't even breathe with you. So in Shafa, we teach you techniques to actually protect yourself from that. It starts first thing in the morning. Everything starts first thing in the morning. So first thing in the morning, myself and you know, all the Shafa students, 12 which are sitting here, the first thing that we actually do that. There is a technique or a number of techniques that we do that. But it all starts even before you're able to swallow or do this or stretch. You actually say, I am a spiritual being and I'm going to have a wonderful human experience. So you set yourself up. You position yourself for the event. Then you start the process. Speaking of positioning, it's very important for you to position yourself now, then decide if you want to be healed or not. Totally. Because there are going to be signs. It's like as soon as you position yourself to be in an environment of what you want, arrows of creation, and it can be seen. You know, once you start to raise your vibrations, your clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient abilities just come. You know, it's not reserved for a few people. You know, it's not esoteric at all. And that's what people say. They made the field of spirituality so complicated. It's not. You just have to position yourself. And then depending on your dedication, depending on your vibrations, then more things come. It's like different arrows, you know, come from all directions. And they carry the germs of subtle creation of form. Then we have a subtle form. Then we keep on looking at the form. It's going to what? Be more significant. And then sometimes it actually manifests in front of our very eyes. It actually does. That's how you position yourself. It was in 1995. I was in Corte Madera in a very small two-bedroom apartment. Any one of you have seen me there? Corte Madera or
no,
Corte Madera? Yeah, a very small apartment, so we have two of you. And it was floor to ceiling, the windows, the sliding window. And it was a very sunny day, you know, very nice sunny day. And I was sitting and contemplating. And the way I sit and contemplate is usually like that, you know, kind of bent towards the left. The fingers are on the third eye area, and the right hand is on the chest, and I was contemplating. It's supposed to be a very big day the next day. For the first time, I was having a radio show the next day. So I was sitting and contemplating, wasn't quite sure. It's like, when are we going with this, you know? It all felt like, I don't know. And I'm sitting and it's around 10:30 a.m. and all of a sudden a huge, huge light comes. And I think there must be something wrong with my eyes or something. And I'm looking and all of a sudden, it's like, really? You know, huge entity, angelic light, something shaped right in front of me. So it was huge light coming, and it was very sunny. And the wing, it had two wings, huge wings, like the wings were, you know, the ceiling, I guess, is 8 feet, right? So, like that. And all of a sudden, the wings were no longer wings, they were two huge, tall entities. Next to the big whatever. It was so big that it had to bend. It felt like it. And in the field of spirituality, you know, when you start to see things, you will know that sometimes you see, geometric shapes, it has a meaning. Sometimes you see a face, just a face, it has a meaning. Sometimes you see a bus, no hands, it has a meaning. Sometimes you see the bus and the hand, it has a meaning. You know, like one of those statues in parks, for example, four legs of the horse on the ground, the person died in the back, that kind of thing. And this entity is so huge, and I'm looking totally speechless. I'm recalling my feeling. I really don't know what happened exactly as far as words or what was the exchange. And the entity tells me that cancel the show. And instead, work on terminally ill patients. Did I have any choice? Gladly accepted. I called the station and left a message. I was very embarrassed because, they had a program. I was supposed to diagnose and heal on the radio, one of those big things, and become famous and so forth. So I called and I didn't know what to do. The next day I started to call the Hospice of Morin. I called the Hospice of Laguna Niguel in San Francisco. I was asking people, where are hospices? Let me call. I would call, the nurses would pick up. They were excited about my experience and so forth. But nothing came out of it, ever. I said, I don't want money. I won't lay hands on your patients. I'll be invisible. Just let me come. And they did it. Tuesday, the next day, Monday, I don't know for what reason, without thinking. As many times as I looked, there was no thinking involved. I just went down the stairs. I was on the second floor of the apartment. And I cleared the storage area. I didn't think, why are you doing this? I didn't think, why should I do this? I was just doing that. Like somebody was guiding my hands and everything. Cleaned it really nicely, put two chairs there. And the next day, I'm sitting and again contemplating, and all of a sudden I felt like, open the drawer that we all have, full of paper clips and junk and prejudice and so forth, emptied it and put it back. Juxtaposition. I was feeling great. And as soon as it went back to its position, the bell rang. And there is a 7-year-old lady, huffing and puffing, came up the stairs and said, Will you please come to our house and visit with my partner? I said, what's wrong with your partner? She's downstairs, but she can't come up. I said, okay, I'll come downstairs. So I went, she's sitting in the front, the lady who rang the bell is sitting there, and I sat in the back. And it was visible, full of tumors on the neck and these areas. I thought I didn't do much, but most tumors either shrunk or disappeared. Didn't happen to me before. And they left. So I come upstairs, as soon as I want to grab a glass of water, knock. This time no ringing of the bell, there is a knock. I open the door. Very similar story. I said, can your friend go on the first floor? Can she walk a few steps? And she said, yes. So we went to the storage room. And we did a very good healing. Identical story. Tumor shrunk or disappeared. And throughout the day, that's what happened. Throughout the day. It was amazing. At the time, I had really no idea what gay means. What lesbian means. I wasn't anywhere with it, I had no idea, but I'm sure I had some preconceived notions or some prejudice about it. And also because of what Israelis are doing with Palestinians, it dropped off on me. I had my feelings about Jews. All the people who came here, 3 couples, were lesbians. The rest of them, and those 3, were also Jews. And, okay, what's the message here? This is fascinating. Everything happened just because I positioned myself. I positioned myself as a healer. I wore the hat of a healer. I assumed the platform of one. Then the entity came. if any one of you is thinking, okay, as soon as I get my first $100,000, as soon as I get rid of the cancer, I'm going to start healing, it's like you're on the wrong track. You got to position yourself now. You position yourself now. Then things come. I already was a healer. I announced it. And the way I announced it was that I just sat home. I had a travel agency in San Francisco in the, World Trade Center. I think it's demolished and changed to
Ferry
something.
Ferry Building.
Ferry Building, yes. It was a very nice one, actually. Very nice. I did a very good job. It looked really nice. Didn't make much money. And we had a storage room, and the storage room full of brochures and full of videos, I would see patients. So I was looking forward for somebody to come for me to do healing, but somebody come for me to sell a ticket. And I think one of my students, her name is Mary Ellen, she lives in New Jersey. I did my first healing there with her. And I decided, you know what? I'm not being honest with you. So I just closed the business, and I came. And I sat. And the next day, Patty says, so you're not going to work anymore? You're not going to work anymore? How do we pay it? We've met. You pay it. What do you mean you pay it? Well, I'm going to do healing. You're doing healing. How do you advertise? How did you? Have you advertised? No. Okay. It sounds really irrational, but it isn't, and here is why. You know, when I made the decision, and I hope you get this and take it with you, I was free, 100% free. God is my witness, of all emotions, of all wishes and desires, of all concerns, and hope. Is hope a bad thing? No, not a thing. It's a very good thing. You know, human beings need hope. They need hope. But when you hope, you don't know, do you? You're hoping. You know? You want certainty and being sure something is going to happen. You must be free from all this. And it's possible. So I just, you know, I was sure. That's where I'm going to go. So I just announced it to the universe. And I sat home, and prior to that, of course, I was doing healing, and people and friends would say, you have to have a business card. You have to have a business card. And Mary Ellen, a friend and a student, you know, actually prepared me a business card and put some in some local stores and so forth. But I wasn't giving the business cards. And so, I asked Master Parvanathan, should I have a business card? And he looks at me and says, why? He said, thank you. And ever since, you know, I don't have a business card. Yes, we're starting a blog now. And yes, we have a site, but the site is really for people that come and want more information. Go to the site. It's not necessarily, I mean, it's a nice site, but it's not very professional. But there is some information there. So I did not advertise. I did not send any brochure. When I was coming to Marin County from Emeryville, they told me Marin County is a very rich county. It's probably the richest county in America. And people are redneck. Are they? And they are highly conservative, and there also are hundreds and thousands of people. There are hundreds of thousands of people who don't live in Marin County anyways. And I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm just me. I come from the heart, I do what I do. What I do, no one else can do. What you do, I can't do. So, you know, I went there, and soon thereafter, people were coming to me, and it's like, how did you hear about me? And I found out through their friends and family members and their patients that they're raving about me. They wanted to see what it is that I'm doing. You know, one of them came and lifted the sheet off of the table and said, you don't have any seawater? I said, why would I have seawater? Mm-hmm. How do you protect yourself? She said, So, positioning is very important. After working very hard and not meeting the rent by day 28, I was kind of trying not to have any concept. Day 28, that is due in 2-3 days. There is a grace period that you have to pay back the painful $45, because you're late. There is a knock at the door. And I open the door, and lady, without saying hello, hands me an envelope. And I take the envelope and say, what is this? I said, take it. I said, why? He says, take it. I said, why? Well, you know, I have a sinus problem that I have to do surgery. And I know it's going to cost me approximately $10,000. So here is yours. I said, no, thank you. She says, what do you mean, nothing? I said, just pay, the number of visits that you come. So I was working on her, and second number two, I was trying to create laser beams and all that, and actually I started to smell burnt. Something is burning inside the sinuses. And all of a sudden she looks at me and says, are you burning my sinuses? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, your sinuses are going to be good. And she turned her face, and I was so emotional. I had the confirmation. Someone who doesn't know anything about anything, as far as, she just knew she doesn't want to do surgery, novice at best, actually saw and felt what I was doing. And I was weeping without a voice. Very interesting. And her sinuses were healed in 2 sessions. So she left and came back a few days. Now it is day number 2 in the next month. And she hands me an envelope and said, you must take this. I said, unless I know what it is, I'm not going to take it. And there was $2,000, which covered the rent plus other things and so forth. And after that, Patty did not ask me how we are going to pay the rent. But, I position myself. That's the point, yes, I'm talking about myself. It gives you an idea of whom you're dealing with. But at the same time, I position myself. I'm trying to tell you all the time, position, position, position. Those of you who have had VHS, those tapes, it always shows 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Anytime you try to put the right timing on the VHS, it went off, and it was again 12, 12, 12, just looking at you, 12, 12, not saying position, 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 regardless of what you do, the degree of success and achievement that you want depends on how you position yourself. Nothing more, nothing less. As soon as there is clarity of intention, you position yourself. Arrows of creation from all directions actually come and meet with you. Now, those people who came to me on that very significant Tuesday, and the person who came for her sinuses, they all saw me work your horse. And thank you for being here. So I have a point of reference. I was really reluctant to go and heal a horse. To me it's like, just starting. I don't know anything from it. I'm just positioning myself to see what comes, right? And with a lot of enthusiasm. Okay, so enthusiasm, when I say I literally mean it, mean the meaning in Latin. It means the love of God. I had a lot of that in me. Probably a lot more than I have now. So I went finally, and I worked with her horse. I should call you Miss Doris now, right?
You can call me whatever you want.
So it's a thoroughbred. Am I saying it correctly?
Correct.
It's one of those huge horses that is a mixture between the English horse, and correct me if I'm wrong, and an Arabian horse. And so when we went to the, I went to the ranch, was it Woodacre?
Mm-hmm.
Woodacre is the...
Nicosia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I went there, and I'm looking at the horse, it's like, probably taller than me. He was looking at me like he's showing the white of the eyes, like, don't you come close, I'm going to show you. You know. So I went closer, and she hung up. She hung to the rein of the horse. She was holding the horse. And the horse had a cut here, you know. Did you take him to the UC Davis for a surgery or something? So he had a bad experience with the whole thing. And there was a tumor.
Quite large.
Yeah. Right. And so I went on the side, and, you know, she's comforting the horse. What was the name?
Bob.
She's comforting Bob, and, you know, all that. And Bob is looking at me and kind of gearing off to give me a nice kick or a nice, you know, head or something. And I started to work, and after 5 minutes, the head fell. And those nice eyelashes are looking at me like this. Big eyelashes, and he started to nibble. And then, it may be interesting, he got an erection. That I haven't seen before. and she told me that's a good thing. It's a sign of healing. I said, really? I didn't know that. I just positioned myself. So just about everybody that came on that Tuesday had a friend of a friend, or actually witnessed the healing or something that happened. And she told me, if I'm not mistaken, that her sinus problems went away or something like that while she was holding on to her. So the focus really of the whole subject, everything that I'm trying to say and make it maybe a little bit more interesting, is position. Now, I was working very hard, so people started to worry about me. And they said, you know, you got to take care of yourself. Healers die young. And it's true. Healers die young. I mean, it was true. It was. So, and you got to take care of yourself. And a very, very grateful ex-healee. So we don't say patient, we say healee. Instead of patients or client, we say healees. Gifted us with 3 days vacation to Cabo San Lucas. And I was hesitant to go anywhere. I just didn't want to go anywhere. I was so enthusiastic in what I was doing, and you know, the changes that I could see around is that something really, really wonderful is happening. You know, any of those experiences is an experience of a lifetime, you know. And obviously, I didn't want money. It was the biggest challenge of my life, you know, to accept money or to take money. But what about the rent? What about the expenses? You know, that kind of thing. So, the lady gifted us with a 3-day vacation to Cabo San Lucas. We go there, and plane traveled, you know, and I'm grumpy. So I really shouldn't come here, you know, and so forth. I have so much work to do. I'm a day worker, you know. If I work, I make money. If I don't work, I don't make money. You know, I'm just grumpy, you know. And I got a few names of a few patients that I was going to do distant healing while on the plane, closer to God, or you know, in Cabo San Lucas, closer to the nature. So we go there, and we go towards the beach, and Perry lies down and said, you know, I'm very tired. I'm going to lie down. And for me, if I go to the beach, I want the waves pound on me. That's how I define relaxation. When they pound on me, I just, woo, you know, enjoy it. I go into the water, I won't come up. I look like prunes when I come up, you know, all soaky. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I notice the waves are very big. So I step back, you know, like 10 feet. Very big, you know. I go back again, and they are huge. It's like, whoa, you know, it's coming up. And I thought maybe there is a deep, you know, it recedes, the beach recedes somehow, and that's why the waves are like that. So I'm standing there and kind of, you know, measured, you know, God is with me too. I've done all this good work. I'm a very good healer, you know, strong, standing there. Dug my heel in the sand and stood like this, so the wave doesn't, you know, take me. And the wave came and took me. And know, sand in my beers, in my bathing suit. I was trying to hold on to my bathing suit. It just dropped me against the everything. I had scars. I had everything. I couldn't move. And maybe it was because of my left knee. I think I tore a tendon or something. And it was only my ego that let me get up. I stood up and I turned my face towards the waves, like nothing happened, you know. And Patty saw what happened. So she comes, and she's standing there, you know, like in the doorway, because she saw what happened. She's scared. So, are you okay? I said, of course I'm okay. Oh. You know, everything was burning, and I was in so much pain. And as she's talking to me, two Chinese people come, a couple. And the man is holding the baby, an infant. And it was a she, because, you know, you could see the ribbon. That's pink, very cute, you know. They came and next to me, and I'm trying to kind of not fall, and I couldn't stand, I couldn't fall. The pain was horrendous. And they came, and I tried to make an eye contact, say, get away, or step aside, too late. Another wave came, demoralized everybody, as usual, me included. I got up again, and there was no baby. And the wave went like this, went back, and it's like everyone wanted to, you know, the electromagnetic field was huge, humongous, you know. And I look, it's like a football field. It's like, why did it go that? The child, the baby, you know, I was really, really demoralized. I couldn't believe in that few seconds that it happened. Moi, strong healer. God is with me and all that. I'm helping so many people in front of my very eyes. It happened and I couldn't do jack. I couldn't swim, I couldn't run, and plus, you know, what was the use? And as I'm thinking, the next wave comes and demoralizes everybody, you know, foams everywhere, everybody is tumbling. And the couples died standing. There was no color, you know, lips were shaking, they were drooling, they were like this, they couldn't breathe, they didn't want to breathe. As the next wave comes. And again, the same story, and on its way back, I put something in my hands. The baby in my hand, I can't walk. So I said, as your babies. All of a sudden, color comes, you know, they start to smile, and, you know, they look really miserable, though. They come and they get the baby, and they keep on walking backwards, saying things in Chinese, and going backwards, and they kept on going for like 100 feet backward, and doing this, and all that. And I'm saying, okay. I positioned myself to get the baby. All this pain, sometimes positioning is painful. You know, at least judging by what our experience has been, positioning is painful, you know, but it doesn't have to be. You know, it's painful because we don't know any better, because we don't have the basic information. For the rest of 2.5 days remaining, Patty and I hardly spoke. We hardly spoke. She witnessed what happened. She knew what happened, and I knew I'm here to be instrumental of receiving and giving. I receive healing, I can give it to everybody. And she knew for the rest of the 2 days she was gathering very exotic fish, you know, some of the fish that they're like bony and thorny and they have eyes, they look like human beings. They were all at the shore. She would get them and give it to me and I would try to put them back into the water. All 2.5 days, that's what happened. She knew it was her job now that she gratefully accepted to provide me with an environment that I could do the healing. The whole process was about how you position yourself, even though sometimes reluctantly, but you do position yourself. You know, if you're doing badly physically, emotionally, you position yourself to get healed. You don't wait and hope. That's dumb. Excuse me. You're hoping, then you don't know. That's not going to happen. And it happens, it's so much pain. It's not worth it. At the end of the day, it wasn't worth it. That brings me to one of my axioms. So you're clear about positioning? Yes? Okay. So I position yourself to come to your ranch. Position myself to work on the horse, and then the whole thing happened, which positioned me to be on the receiving end of that magnificent entity, that music. Anybody wants any break? No? Okay, can I have some water, please? This morning we had a teleseminar. Seminar, instant seminar. And for the first time I had somebody next to me, that young man over there. And I think this is going better than the morning, huh? What do you say? Thank you. You're going to wait for church, so if you have any questions or if you want to do anything, there are two more bathrooms down the hall if you wanted to use. Thank you very much for coming. Very appreciated. Very happy to see you. I saw you when you were 12 or something. Very, very nice to see you. Thank you. Come back fast. Don't go very far. Yes. Can you say that one, please?
This has happened to me. Like, I've asked for something, and
so you asked for something.
I've wanted something, and I thought I'm prepared to receive it. And for whatever reason, it has come, but I have not been there to receive it. And then I'm like, how could I do that? So can you how can I do better next time, or is there a way to, when that happens instantly, what is the right thing to do?
If I don't answer you right now, I'll answer you later.
Okay, that's fine.
But let's just cover up a few things since everybody's here. So we're waiting for two more people. Yes.
So you keep saying position yourself. I understand that, but in order to position yourself, don't you have to know where to position yourself? Don't you have to have the knowledge or knowing or feeling of it?
Actually, that's the catch. People think that and they never position themselves. My experience, that's the catch. Mm-hmm. Too much and too many feasibility studies to start a business. You know, then the universe said, do you want to open the darn business or do you don't want to? I mean, these feasibility studies make me confused. Do you want to start, you know, the business?
Yeah.
Go start it. Don't talk to me about money, because it's not going to happen. Don't talk to me about, oh, I have a child, I have to attend. None of my business, the universe says. Do you want this or you don't want? So when the clarity of intention is not totally there, and we justify it for money or anything else, then it's not going to happen. And if it happens, it's shaky, shady. Then a few years later, I wish I would not have done it. Mm-hmm. So during the meditation, especially a few minutes into your meditation, there are moments of clarity. And let's talk about meditation a little bit, since the subject came. You know, people say, I'm going to meditate on a given topic. So they sit and they actually think about it. And that's a normal. Again, you're engaging your analytical mind. Again, you're engaging what you have experienced in your life. You're bringing it into your meditation. Again, the universe is not, you're not opening up for the universe. You're not opening up for the universe. The messages are tarnished at best. So first rule in Shafa, you always title your meditation, but you never think about it. So meditation is, give me a title.
Health, could it be?
So health, and then you start to meditate, however you meditate. You know, we do our own meditations here, but meditation, you do your meditation. When the, you know, you say health and then your heart comes to mind, just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just stay. The title is not for you, it's for the universe. The title is not for you. It's absolutely for the universe. The universe must see the clarity. The universe is providing you the information for the title. But are you getting it, or are you busy engaging, analyzing? What are you doing? See, this is what happens. You know, when we are meditating, you know, all sorts of nice, sparkly stuff happens around the head area. Let's say, just the head. All sorts of nice things, you know. All sorts of information are coming, and you may not be even aware of the information, what it is, you know. And as soon as, you know, there is a spark and you hang on to that spark, try to think what it is, there is a line. You know, there is a line that is like this. It's like the upper part is cut off. Information comes, but there is no receiver here. The information that you want is coming to you during meditation. So, amongst all the sages throughout the history, the one that I know, amongst all the gurus, only one person did the meditation the right way. He is the great inventor, Con Edison. Fascinating. You know, he came up with, I guess, thousands of discoveries and hundreds of inventions. But very repeatedly actually, he would come to a point that he didn't know where to go from here. What to do? What element am I going to add so I make this invention, this discovery work? So what he did was he would take marbles. He would put a bucket. I can imagine those days they ran plastic buckets, metal bucket, and he would sit with the buckets in his, with the marbles in his hands, and the bucket was there. And he would go to meditation. And at some point, a marble would fall into the bucket and make a sound. And he would open his eyes and he would write. He didn't know what he's writing. He would write, and the information was exactly what he wanted. If he continued with the meditation, the information probably would have been lost. He would still think, maybe at some day the information that came would manifest in some shape and form and he would get it, but it wouldn't be instantaneous. We actually get our information instantaneously. There is no problem about it. We do get it. Except that if you are going through grief, if you are going through pain, if you are going through any of these things, you know, we don't see it. It's like you want to park, you are in a rush to park, you know, you just rush and circle, why there is no parking? As soon as you go there, somebody pulls up. You want to come back, somebody goes. And it's like, there's no parking space. Why is it there? It's here. It's easy. Just slow down. Receive information. If you're too busy analyzing, prioritizing, categorizing, it's not going to happen. And if it does, it's a lot of pain. It's not going to happen. So meditate with the title. The title is not for you, though you know it's for you. It's for the universe to understand what you want. The universe emits all its power. The power is beyond all our imagination. It's not very smart. I'm sorry to say. The universe to me is not God. The universe is not very smart. It actually literally behaves based on what you think, how you position yourself. That's all. So if there is any lack of clarity anywhere, then it doesn't understand. It will figure it out sometime. It may not be this lifetime. It will definitely happen though. At some day, maybe 10 lifetimes from now, for those of you who believe in reincarnation, it will manifest. And you may say it's karma, and I say, no, that's something you wanted 10 lifetimes. So there's a difference between karma and what is going on. Okay? All right. So, you're welcome.
What was I saying?
Positioning.
Okay.
I want you to see how you meditate first. Then we move on to different things.
That's how you meditate.
Okay. That's your form meditation. That's Hilary and I.
And Bob. 1995.
Bob is... But Bob was, I think, 17 when Barry's worked on him. So he, his tumor completely... disappeared and his sinus infection cleared, and we ended up finding a wonderful pasture where it was a therapeutic horse. He'd been a racehorse for 9 years, which is unheard of, and then became a Grand Prix jumper after that. And I was lucky enough to get him for a student, and we had him for a couple of years before he injured himself to the point where he couldn't jump. So he, veterinarian found this home for him, and he walked around with handicapped children for several years and lived as a horse on 200 acres the rest of his life until he passed.
Wow. And when did he pass?
I think he was 25.
Wow. 25. And what year?
It must have been, if that was 95 and he was 17.
2003. Yeah. After the invasion, I brought it on purpose. I'm saying it on purpose. I'm not meaning to be funny here. I'm waiting for a person who's gone to the bathroom to come. And meanwhile, I'm going to show you another picture. The young man that you see here, I don't know if you can see, sorry. His name was Ben Underwood. He passed. So his name was Ben Underwood. He passed. This is a class that I held in one of the local hotels, and it's the second year's class of some kind. So you weren't here. I was showing this picture. I don't know if you can see. Can you see that?
I see three people.
Yes. So one of them is me, and the rest are me. I'm here. I don't know if you can see. And there is a young man in the middle with his mom. So the significance of inviting him and his mom to one of my classes was to highlight the fact that we can use our senses interchangeably. You know, going back to my experience at the UCSF hospital, this young man, I think at the age of 2, came down with cancer of the sinus. And so the sinus spread and they had to remove his eyes. And then he started to be very needy towards his mom. Which at that point, the mom taught him a few good lessons. An incredible mother. And the mom actually bought him a bicycle. Said, do you want to ride the bicycle? And he says, yes. Said, if you ride your bicycle and come home crying, I would kick you out of this house. Do you want to ride the bicycle? And he says, yes. So he was riding the bicycle, and soon thereafter, all the neighborhood kids were riding with him.
So 5-6 kids on a bicycle. And he was the driver. He was riding the bicycle. He was the eyes of all those kids. And, you know, we test drove and we said, okay, tell us how many people are here and who's where and what is the shape. Do you remember that, Alma?
Yeah.
And, you know, he could tell you if the column there is rectangular or circular or round. He could tell if that's a normal car, sedan car, or a pickup truck. He could, as he was going, he could tell you if there is a garbage can. You know, he could tell me how height I was, the height, my height. He could tell, in some cases I heard, that he could tell you, you know, even the color of your eyes. But we did not witness that. And, you know, so the way he said it was that, you know, he sends signals and the signals come back and that's how he knows. And he actually was producing a sound, which I can't repeat, but he was doing it and he would say it like a bat, you know. They would send signals like radar and they know where to go. But I didn't think that. No, I did not say anything either. I did not think that he's like a bat. I did not think that, you know, he's doing some really extraordinary thing. I just thought he knew. And he can use that sense interchangeably. You know, maybe he needs an anchor with sound to make that happen. And anyway, so we invited him to the class and him and his mom came. It was a very emotional class, very nice class. And, you know, we decided that, you know, we offer complimentary sessions till he heals. And any time I called him, he was really angry with me. He said, "Are you not ready, Ben?" And he said, "No, I was playing or I was doing something. Do you want me to call you some other time?" "Well, I don't know, maybe. My mom will call you." So, you know, after twice, that's how I operate. I realize I respect people's process, but I'm not there. I'm not going to crucify myself. I'm not a martyr. And the time that I spend, and the person doesn't want it, can be addressed to someone else that wants it, right? And he passed. But he always thought that he's going to heal. You know, and he was saying that I'm going to heal through Jesus. Nothing wrong with it, except that how?
What do you mean healing? Start seeing?
Actually, cancer gone. Basically, that was the intention, for the cancer to be gone, so he could live. But he had no physical eyes. Later on, they removed part of his nose and the olfactory areas. I mean, he had false eyes when he came. So wishing and desiring and hoping that God is with me is not going to do it. You know, belief is nice, but beliefs change all the time. In Shafa, we do not believe. We try to know. It's very, very different. We try to know. Sometimes the process is very painful in the sense that reds all the time. Repetition, enthusiasm, discipline all the time. You know, starting in the morning. Shafa students have agreed with me that life is 24/7 meditation, which basically means you don't have to sit, you know, all the time and do that. You know, every aspect of life becomes meditation. Even going to the bathroom is meditation. Anytime I go to the bathroom, I actually say, I think in English, so I say thank you for the ability to let go. It could be a joyous process too. It's meditation. Every aspect of life, eating, you know, talking like this, is meditation. So if we position ourselves that way, to accept 24/7 meditation, then information keeps on coming. You know, you don't have to go to gurus and healers all the time. Information comes. You do have the receptors. You know, like information is coming through the door, but you don't see it because the door is closed. Open it up. It has nothing to do with, you know, my father being a saint or I being a saint. It has nothing to do with, look at me, a regular guy. I'm doing really incredible things, but I'm a regular guy, you know, that you can have a beer with. You know, and if I can do it, you can do it too. You know, that's really the whole message. It has nothing to do with, you know, all my life people said I'm very kind and trying to help people. Well, okay. That doesn't mean that you can heal and do these really, some of these very miraculous healings. I'm trying to see if there is any other image I want to show you. I don't know how much time we have here, but I want to show you this image here. It's an aura image. We have an aura machine here that, you know, sometimes we work and then we ask the person to see his or her aura before and after. But this image was taken, I think, in 2003. Excuse me a second, please.
So I'm going to go clockwise. Do you see the image?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost identical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Auras of two people. Identical, almost identical. You know,
if I were to look at it, it's probably 98% identical. Her name is Christine Doherty, and we have her testimonial on the website. I went to Guy Coggins. Guy Coggins is the inventor of this camera, the Aura camera. And he wanted me to work, and he wanted to film me while I'm working and to see before and after, you know, what happened. So I worked on her. Christine had the cancer of the tongue. And I think it was on a Saturday, probably August 17th or something. August 17th to be very significant in my life somehow. And on Sunday I had a seminar in 2003. And she came here, I worked on her, and she said what she had to say, and we took the video shots and everything. And I keep on working on different people, and then there are questions, and then seeing the aura, the actual, you know, what happened, the change of the aura, you know. And she's not going. So finally I look, I said, can I do something more for you? You seem to be standing there. And she, in a very shy manner, said, I'm very sorry, your car is in front of my car. And your car is blocking my car. I can't go. I said, oh, I'm sorry. And before she went, Guy Coggins, the inventor of the camera, said, can I take a still picture of you? And you, Master Donald. I said, fine. You know, so we sat there and he took still pictures. This is actually 3 hours after I worked on her. She adopted my aura. 3 hours later, it's almost 98% identical. 3 hours later. And, you know, she went, they did all sorts of tests, there was no cancer. So without any Western intervention, the cancer was gone. And yes, I did a very good job, so. But at the same time, she did it. She maintained that. She adopted the aura. She held on to it. It wasn't that she believed in me. It was right and right. She knew. See, no Western intervention at all whatsoever.
Shouldn't her aura be like idiosyncratic of her? You know? Not like yours?
I did not understand the question.
When I look at somebody, I see the manifestation of them as being different for each person.
Yes.
And it's surprising to me to see an individual manifest an aura that matches that of another person.
So basically, you're surprised that she held on to the aura?
I thought you said she had matched your aura.
She matched and she held on, yes. So once her vibrations raised to my level, she kept it. And that's not easy. But she wanted to hold on to the aura. Where she wasn't a good place. You know? It's like, you know, I hand you a sandwich and you eat it. And you have sandwich, I have sandwich inside me. And the same sandwich is inside you. You know, but there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's nurturing, replenishing, you know, and so forth. So people do that, and the ones that actually healed, like her, and it was really, really very fast and instantaneous, are the ones that realize that. You know, their ego doesn't say, why should I hold on to his aura? You know, I'm a very unique individual. Well, you are a unique individual, so what? You know, it's like, I'm a very unique individual, I'm not going to get the shot. You know? I'm not going to get any Western treatment. I'm a very unique individual. It's just, you know, the same analogy applies. You know, you get the shot, you heal. Hopefully, right? Okay. One other, or actually two other images I would like to share with you. One is the image of Grandmaster Pavarande, my mentor's granddaughter, when she came to our small apartment in Puerto Madero. So I have a lot of memories from that area. And let's see if I could make this smaller here. And I was looking at her in admiration because she carries so much of her grandfather. And she's a grown-up woman now. She's 20-some-odd years. This is around 1995 again or something like that. But can you see the... and I'm going to turn this. Can you see the white in here? This is actually my aura. I'm sending energy. That's how it appears. That's how it appears on the photo. Regular camera. Regular camera can see it. Why can't you? Maybe you haven't thought about it. Okay. Here is another one. Here is my nephew's wife. Her lovely name is Nazak. We are in the park here at Stanford Park in Novato. And I called her and I sent her energy and I took a picture and came up.
What do you mean you called her?
I called her Nazak and she turned.
Okay.
So again, you know, is seeing aura really a significant thing? Yes, no, you know. I would not necessarily emphasize on seeing aura and all that because it's very distracting, especially in the beginning. You know, let's say, you know, you have kind of pistachio green aura and all that. And if you start to see auras, everybody's aura is pistachio green. You know, and for a long time it's like, why everybody's aura is pistachio green? You've seen through the filtration of your aura. Until you get adjusted to it, you know, it's like having one of those stuff in your eyes and, you know, you can't see well, then you adjust to it, then you see around and about it. So seeing aura is very helpful. You know, if you see a person, there's a dark thing there and looks this way and that way, and it's helpful. If you don't see it, then you have to position yourself so you receive the information to know what to do with it. But initially, it can be extremely, extremely interesting and as much very confusing and distracting. Okay? I don't think I can show you any other picture here, so... let's see. We are almost towards the end of our gathering here, but I want to share a few things with you. It just shows where I am. You don't have to accept, leave, comply or anything. One of the axioms that I want to share with you that is that anything you try to change persists. So since your infancy you've been changing and you're persistent. Right? So anything you try to change persists. And that's true with cancer tumor, that's true with your finances. You want to forcefully change it, it's going to be that way. The conditions seemingly shift and change, you know, it's like watching a black and white movie done in 1960s. Then we have 3Ds and all the special effects. Same story though. It's the same story in 2012. Same story. So condition really hasn't changed. It doesn't change. It persists. It appears different. You know, it's true with cancer, it's true with your finances, anything you try to change persists. So what do we do? We create a reality opposite to what is. So this is the axiom that most of my students or Shafar students
have had a very tough time with. You know, we just... but we're changing, and again, I have to explain, and again, they go back to this, you know. So instead of changing, we shift. You know, it's like, would you wear your shoes when you were 2 years old? Would you wear it now? I mean, can you wear it now? It doesn't work. It's the same thing. You know, would you say, I'm going to go to Costco only if there's a reserved parking for me there? If there is no reserved parking, I'm not going to go there. But go there, position yourself, a car is going to pull up and you're going to pull in and you're going to go to Costco and spend, you know, buy a lot of things you don't need. Let's go! So in Shafa there is a difference between soul and spirit. So as I talk, I want you to know that soul is a spirit plus experience. So we all have souls now. But we don't have a spirit. Metaphorically. Why? Because the spirit has gained experiences. Right? And that leads me to something that has helped me every day. It is helping me every day. And I'm going to share it with you. It's an axiom that I came to know about. And it's called the axiom of first agreement. The axiom of first agreement. So what is it? You know, imagine it's the beginning of time. And time was just created. And all of the intelligences in here, and the ones that you have ever seen, maybe going the opposite direction 7 miles an hour on the highway. And the ones that you haven't seen and you are not going to see. All these intelligences, you know, instead of calling soul or spirit, I say intelligence. All these intelligences collectively came to an agreement. You know, let's say metaphorically we all said, you know what, let's all agree not to know everything. It's boring. You know, that's why they call us static, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't have to move. I know everything there is to know. So why would I move? You know, I don't need anything to eat, drink or anything. Why would I move? Why would I do anything? So let's agree. It's an agreement. So we shook hands collectively. At the same time, we all agreed. So it's axiom 27, remember that. We all agreed not to know everything. And each agreement weighs something. As soon as we agreed, we got heavy and we descended. Mm-hmm. From knowing to being. From knowing to being. In being, it's impossible for you to know everything. Nobody can claim that. I mean, they can claim it. It's impossible. You can't possibly know everything. But, here is very interesting and a lot of incentive here, you can know anything you want to know. Anything. But you must be in being to reach out and know. The information actually gets downloaded. Beep, beep, and you have the information. So I was doing that, and people would ask me, how do you know I'm a good life? Oh, I read it in the paper the other day. I read it in the book. Somebody told me. Because they wouldn't believe me if I told them. I had to come up with some reference. It's different nowadays. I just said, no. It's very interesting. So you can actually reach out and know, but you got to be there. So if Mr. Ego says you are there, so reach out, and how come I don't know? Well, you're not there. That's why you don't know. You know, you're not connecting physically to love source. That's why you don't know. The information keeps on coming. You're not deciphering. So the axiom of first agreement is that we all collectively agreed not to know everything. We descended from knowing to being. And as soon as you're in being, what do? You do. You do things. And as soon as you do things, you have things. And as soon as you have things, you want to have more of it. Mind. Precious mind. Money, you want to have more money. If you're healthy, you want to be more healthy. You want to just have more health around you. And here is the catch. If you have disease, you want to have more disease. It's the basic human psychology. Even though we say, no, I want to be healthy, I'm doing everything possible. Anything and everything possible for my health. But at some level, you want to have it, you have it. See, once you have it, it's difficult to unhave it. That's the basic human psychology. That helps me every day with the idea of justice. See, I could go crazy with that.
Okay.
Idea.
It's just the holy game.
Wherever you position yourself, you are going to encounter the forces of that field. That's what's going to happen. If I go and play soccer or football, you know, and I break the leg, I can't say, God, why me? And you start again. You went to the game. You position yourself to play the game. Why? That's nothing to do with me. I provided you with all the tools, including your fingers and feet and eyes, to play the game. It has nothing to do with me, God says. It depends on how you position yourself. And for us to play the game, we shouldn't know initially what the score is going to be, or we're not going to play. See, every day I remind myself of that, and that takes care of the idea of justice for me. Where is justice? And you know, what happened to Hitler? He died? So what? Mm-hmm. Even if they made him in pieces, would that be justice? You know, close to 70 million people died in Second World War. He caused that. Where is the justice in it? Who can justify that? You know? George Bush for no reason goes to Iraq and does what he does. Children in Iraq are being born with no internal organs, with three hands, no fingers, with an eye in here. And 10 days ago he had a commencement speech in a university. Treated like a hero, a war criminal. And I'm not going to apologize if you're a Republican. A war criminal. Where is justice in it? See, I'm firing up again. First agreement. Okay, it's just a game, but painful game. And we allow it. We all have a share in it. You know? We all are guilty of allowing that to happen. Yes?
On that note, because this is something I'm sure it's come across all our minds, Hitler, there's so many others we can talk about, Stalin goes on, even in America. Did we, the collective, create Hitler, and did he choose to come in to show us how not to be? Was this part of our own, as we're all one?
It's a very nice way of looking at things.
No, I can't, I'm having difficulty with that one.
Yeah, but no.
How do you see it?
Well, the way I see it is that we allowed it.
Absolutely.
We allowed it.
But we collectively had a part in it by allowing it.
Well, you know, what happened in Iraq, what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and all these places in Africa and so forth. You know, when we decide not to see, we are more guilty than the ones that are pulling the triggers. You know. So you position yourself to send a darn email. What's the big deal with a darn email? Somebody is going to get upset. So who cares? You know, put the energy out there. Just express yourself. Position yourself to be a peace advocate. And speaking of peace, you know, every other Wednesday we have a peace meditation. Please join us. Strengthen the number of attendees. When we collectively attend to a process, it actually becomes very fruitful. Okay. So the first agreement is really what has saved me throughout the years, because I can be a very good healer and I can be a very good fighter. It just depends on how I look at things, you know, where I position myself. I could be the most fierce fighter in the universe, and I could be the most loving person in the universe. It just depends on where you position yourself. Okay, time is up, but I want to leave you probably with something that you may think as weird. It's about creation and how creation happened. Universe. U-N-I-verse. Verse means a song. So, was it the Big Bang or just the heavenly tune? Now, I don't know who created the tune, but whomever it is that created the tune, all of a sudden we have all these phenomena. You know, in one of my meditations, and the way I, you know, start to bring in information is like this. And that's the basis of Shafa Harkat. It's a movement, a series of movements like Tai Chi or Qigong that we created, but we haven't been attending to it for the past few years. But the basis starts like this, you know, you rub the back of your hands in front of the heart point, and then you go up, and then it's like a heart shape. And as soon as I reach here, information comes. It's like a rainbow of information. know? It's like an accordion. I have the information. I have a lot of information. My hand is really tired. It's like I'm holding 20, 30 pounds now. So somehow I have to process that and disseminate the information. So in one of those incidences, I came to know there are three Earths. So there are two of me sitting here, and there are two of you looking at me here, with a degree of a difference. And at some point I came to know me, myself, my higher self is really all me, but in different places. So, and we are in communication. Okay, so it's like what I don't understand at all, I don't have any concept, gave birth to nothing, initially. And what is nothing? Nothingness is not a void, is not a whole. It's nothing. It's the stuff from which the universe is made. It's the fiber of all creation. It's the field of all potentialities, possibilities, consciousness, awareness. It's nothing. So there are times that you feel nothing. It may be a very good thing. You may be positioning yourself to really give birth to a new setting or lots of new settings and conditions. It may be a good thing. Why don't I feel like doing anything? It may be a good thing. Hold on. You may not necessarily be depressed. It actually may be a good thing, you know? And then converse with you two others. Converse. Information comes. So at this point, it's like there are three Earths and you can be in communication like I am. And it's good. Good to know. Alright? And so there are tiers. There is tier zero, which that field, whatever it is, we call it God, gave birth to nothing, and nothing gave birth to universe or gave birth to Big Bang. And then we have a female supreme consciousness. Female. Gender. Well, the act of creation is female. You know, giving birth is female. That's what I'm saying. That female supreme consciousness gave birth to three other supreme consciousnesses. Okay, so there are different layers, and I can show you the chart, at least partially. But there are different Earths, different layers. So in here is the three female supreme consciousnesses, and here is nothing, and here is something that created nothing. I have no idea. Okay, in here. So technically, when we cross over and we are yearning for God, or whatever, we are not going to go there. It's impossible. Have I lost you? Okay. So there is some actual practical anchoring in our healing process. Life is a healing process. We don't have to necessarily just focus and work and heal cancer. Every aspect of life is healing. This information actually becomes very useful. I'm not asking you to believe again. I'm not asking you to accept. I'm asking you to please be a Chinese student. You know, have the information. See if it works for you. Anything that I give. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, drop it. But please stop believing in anything I say, or if you already do, or if you don't. That's not what I want. I want you to try to see if it works for you. If it works, then you're good. So there is no return to the primary supreme consciousness, and the yearning of Rumi henceforth is understood by me. Alright? I don't know, I could go on like this. Remember about the idea of dissension from knowing to being to having, like you do and have. And that's also the essence of why people don't want to hear. Exceptions aside, people don't want to hear. As healers, you must know that. And I did not have the courage to talk about it. These people actually told me they don't want to hear. They said, oh, okay, that's the case of study, all right. I have plenty of this. People actually don't want to heal. They want to get better. They don't want to heal. So what do we do? What am I supposed to do? You know, I'm a healer. Well, my job is to provide a healing environment that the individual wants to heal. You know, on a daily basis, we work with people who are in coma in different continents, and we have very, very good success rate. The person doesn't know me. I don't know the person. The family, they just heard something, you know. But the person comes out of the coma. Maybe later on dies of a heart attack. I don't know. But comes out of the coma. We are very good at it. Mary is also very good at it. And but people who come here and have questions and, you know, anything I say is gets vetoed by a physician fresh from the medical school, then healing is a challenge. You know? This is a truly a humongous challenge. And what do I do with that? Well, patience is the biggest virtue of a healer, and I have plenty of patience. On that note, thank you for your patience.
الان حرفای شما داره رکورد میشه.
شما میگی که ونیزه هم مدیتیشن نسانه من نمیدونم.